We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the words he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham. Is your true worth. When we talk about the measure of a man's worth, for us in the kingdom, our true worth is located in God's word. We don't look around to see what we have in the bank account, how many cars we have in the car park, how many properties we've taken possession of, okay, or how many people are even following us to determine our worth. That's the wrong place to look. If you're trying to use calculator to calculate your worth, you're gone. You'll be in big trouble. Hallelujah. The word of God carries true value. The word of God carries the true value and is the measure of our true value. Glory to God. This is why we must always consciously pay attention to the depositing of God's word in our hearts. Every time you deposit that eternal material, we call it tools of immortality, right? Every time you give attention, you are hearing words from God, anointed words. You are opening your heart for the deposit of true value. Hallelujah. Your life cannot be the same. It can't be the same. Remember, I've always said this, that life is not measured in years, it's measured in love and impact. You remember that, right? So the measure of our true value is the word that we have received into our hearts and that we are walking with. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The more deposit of the living word you have in your heart, the more valuable you are. And this is why depositing real value in your heart this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah says, thy words were found and I did eat them, and it was unto me the rejoicing of my heart and of my soul. The word produced joy within us. That means the first thing we observe every time, and that the initial proof that the word has entered is the production of joy in our hearts, right? So the word produces joy within, wisdom within, excitement within, value within, and produce the results on the outside. Never forget that. Hallelujah. Say, my true value. Can you say with me this one? My true value is in the word of God. My true value is in the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's read Genesis 41, 32 to 46. I promised you last week that we should just read through some scriptures as we share and discuss lessons, life lessons from Joseph. Have you been blessed so far? I can't hear you. Have you been blessed so far? Life lessons from Joseph. This should be part 4, I believe. All right, Genesis 41, 32 to 46. We'll just read through and just enjoy the reading. I love us to read that part. All right. And for that dream was doubled unto thee twice, Pharaoh. Are we there? He said, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. I think if we read in concerts, we'll participate more. Can we read together? And let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. Verse 35. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Next verse. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine. We shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not from famine. Next verse. A thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. Next verse. Mm-hmm. in whom the Spirit of God is. 38. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took of his and put it upon Joseph's hands, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain upon his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and the cried bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Next verse. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, Magaya, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. Verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph name, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the priest of On. And Joseph went out over, verse 46 and the last verse. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land. Work has started. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word of God is beautiful, isn't it? All right, we've been talking about lessons from Joseph. And I believe we stopped at lesson 6 last week, Sunday, right? Lesson 6. Oh, okay, it was lesson 7. Oh, sorry, lesson 7. God wants the manifestation of the Spirit in market places of life. That was where we stopped. Lesson 7. If you've not been around, you could just get the materials. I assure you, you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Lesson 7, we say God wants the manifestations of the Spirit in the markets. And we began by talking about redescribing what we call the end time move of God. You remember that, right? We said we have to redescribe the end time move of God, because so many people have different things on their minds when they think about the move of God. When we pray, oh Lord, end time revival, many things go through many minds. Hallelujah. I would say we have to redescribe it looking through scriptures. What is on God's mind? Very important. We saw Isaiah 2 from verse 1 to 3, Micah 4, amen. 1 to 3 also, I believe. He says, this is the word of the Lord that came to Isaiah. In the last days, saith the Lord, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Men shall tell one another, come, let us go up to the house of the Lord, to the mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. Hallelujah. Alright, so out of Jerusalem shall proceed. I said this is the template for revival in our dispensation. We said God deals with his people dispensationally. Hallelujah. You remember that, right? Don't forget that the church in shadow actually started with Abraham. When God called Abraham from his father's house. The word church means ecclesia. It means the called out ones. So when God called Abraham and Sarah out of all of the Chaldeans, that was the first church. Glory to God. And we have that this until the church in Egypt was brought out. Okay. And then with children of Israel, church in Egypt. Then Jesus talks about, I will build my church. So God deals dispensationally. And when Jesus came, the old church was done away with. A new church started. Hallelujah. And even in that new church, have you noticed that what was their latter reign has become our former reign? So when Peter stood, when the earth operated in the move of the Spirit, there was such an outpouring, and they called it, this is the latter rain. For us as a dispensation, it has become the former rain. Glory to God. So God deals with dispensation. He talks about the last days, what will happen. Let me put it this way. The last day is fire on the mountains. It's the fire of the Spirit of God on the mountains. That is the description of the revival, the end time revival. And we have to be awakened to that as a church. Every time we are praying for revival, something must be on our mind. The template must be clear that what God is talking about is fire where? Mountains. Fire on the mountains. The beautiful thing is this. He didn't leave us without a witness. He gave you Isaiah and Micah. And then studying the life of Joseph, we see that. That God wants the manifestations of the Spirit in the marketplace of. Joseph wasn't guessing when he gave interpretation to Pharaoh's dream. It wasn't a guesswork. That was the manifestation of the Spirit of the Word of Wisdom. Is somebody following me? When Pharaoh was concerned and worried about the dream he had, Joseph said, Pharaoh, don't be afraid. God will give you an answer of peace. God will give you an answer of peace. God will give you an answer of peace. He brought forth the interpretation of the dream. I told you last week, you see, it wasn't because he just said something. Pharaoh, if Joseph had just said what came to his mind, or he just said what came to his mind as the interpretation, Pharaoh will know. There's something about resonance in the heart. I believe on the kings of the earth will have dreams, and God will put the interpretation in your heart. You remember that, right? Captains of industries, political leaders will have dreams. They'll dream. Oh, it will be in their heart, but they don't know the interpretation. And God will bring us, which is spiritual. Hallelujah. Joseph spoke with voicing. You remember I taught you about voicing. He spoke the mind of. How did I know that? Even if Pharaoh looked the interpretation, he could have looked for another person. All right, thank you very much. Who said to you in due time, pass and look for someone from his house. Don't forget that Pharaoh trained children, trained servants, trained aristocrats, leaders. But you see, there was something supernatural to it. He says, Pharaoh, God will give you an answer of peace. And he spoke forth by the inspiration of the Spirit. And Pharaoh could not resist the wisdom with which he spake. Hallelujah. God wants the manifestations of the Spirit in the marketplace. I believe we mentioned that how that Daniel was a politician. Alright? What you call a politician, a leader, even relevant in four kingdoms, four dispensations. Started from Nebuchadnezzar to Chazar to Darius to Cyrus. Relevant. He walked in such power. Such power that was related, such manifestations of the Spirit that was related to his assigned as a butcher. Are you somebody following me? This is what God wants. And we wrapped it up with Psalms 12, verse 7. It says, the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with her. To profit with. So go profit with the manifestations of the Spirit in the marketplaces. And we give examples here and there and painted pictures. Imagine a forex trader with word of knowledge. Glory to God. A medical doctor with the gifts of his. He tries everything. Nothing is happening. He switches. He's a woman in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And ministers the necessary healing. If I let me give you a story. How many of you have ever heard of John G. Lake? They call him the apostle to Africa. He was such a mighty apostle. Dr. John Lake. In Spokane, Washington, the mayor gave him an award for making Spokane the healthiest city in America through his healing school. Is that not amazing? Now, of course, that's not even the part. He dropped out of medicine at part 5 or so along the way. He didn't finish from medical school. But at the point, he so operated in the world of knowledge that medical doctors used to consult him. You know, in those days, we didn't have so much materials for diagnosis like we have today. So they would have medical conditions, and the equipment they had then couldn't really give them a clear diagnosis for treatment. And they'll call John Chilik, and you hold the person's hand and will know the condition, the extent of organ damage or what is in the blood, and tell them. And most times he was correct. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Imagine a businessman with the gift of workings of miracles. I told you that you can have this gift of workings of miracles in your finances, in financing a business. I think I mentioned it. You can use it to get funds. Well, you know that these are workings of miracles. I believe he was during the outpouring. I said this, that God's desire is that our finances is powered by the power gifts. How many of you remember that? By the manifestations of the Spirit. We are supernatural people. Very supernatural people. The paradigm that left the pew prayerless, visionless, as far as the supernatural was concerned, as far as the manifestations of the Spirit were correct, is not right. Was concerned is not right. Meaning the thinking that miracles, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of prophecy, discerning of spirit, the workings of miracles, the gift of faith was only for those who were preaching on pulpit was wrong. Very wrong. God wants these manifestations in the marketplaces of life. He wants us to carry it there and demonstrate God there. And this is no theory. We prayed about it a little last week, and I want to just give us a few points on how to stir the manifestations of the Spirit in your life. They are not difficult. Not at all. It will open people up to what you have to say. Seriously, open people up to what you have. I remember I was a copper doctor at the general hospital in Mangu local government. And a man walked to the consulting room. I said, "Good morning, sir." "Oh, good morning, young man. How are you doing?" "Oh," I said, "sir, you're a retired military officer." He stood, he looked at me, he went back and looked at me narrowly. He said, "How did you know that? It's not in my records." I said, "Yes, God tells me things supernaturally." I didn't plan it. I said, "Sir, you're a retired military officer." I didn't say, "Are you a retired military officer?" No. "Say, you're a retired military officer." I said, "God tells me things supernaturally." He said, "Interesting." He came for something else. He began to tell me about how that his left ear had been deaf for years. That wasn't what they came for. And I said, "Sir, God can open your deaf ears." Guess what? He believed. He believed. I put my hands there, prayed, and the ears opened. There was a nurse and attendant there. The attendant looked at me and said, "Doctor, what just happened?" I said, "It's a miracle." The man says, "I can hear." Glory God. Glory to God. Now, I wasn't preaching. We're not on the crusade ground. And it wasn't because of the pastor. The manifestations of the Spirit. In the market is for your profit. For your profit. You use it to rise in the corporate ladder. Hallelujah. You put it to work in business, in career. So what are these keys? Number one, you have to know it. You have to know that it's available for you. And we've said all that already. Bringing the knowledge, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Every man in context is talking about every man among you. He was writing to believers. Every man to profit with, or to make profit with, or to profit others with. Amen. So you have to know it. Number two, desire. 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 We went through them during one of the teachers. If you go home, you can read the ones revealed. And as you read the Bible, any other thing you see, you desire is for you. Do you understand? It's for you. Look at how Daniel rose to the top. It wasn't just because he was intelligent. He gave Nebuchadnezzar his dream and the interpretation. Can you remember? Makebogo Soyaba. No, somebody dreamt a dream. And he says, "You tell me the dream and the interpretation." Or somebody's going to die. No, imagine. I had a dream. I'm telling you. Tell me the dream and the interpretation. Knowing it has to be supernatural. And he gave the interpretation. And guess what? That led to his promotion. That led to his relevance in that government. Desire it. Desire, know that it's for you. Desire it. In that same 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse, I believe, it says, earnestly covet, double negative, earnestly or double positive, earnestly covet Covet is a strong word, but he added earnestly again. Earnestly covet spiritual gifts. He said desire, covet spiritual gifts. The gift of diverse tongues and interpretation. The gift of prophecy. The gift of word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Supernatural insight into the mind of God concerning people, places, and things of the future. That's word of wisdom. You tell the company, this is the future. And by the time they look with their instrument and do their research, they know that you're saying the truth. Hallelujah. Earnestly covet, desire it. Number three, give attention to praying in tongues. Give attention to what? Praying in tongues. Every time we pray in the Holy Ghost, we encourage the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If I to land, how amazing. If I tell you the story of how I started walking word of knowledge, you'll be amazed. I was a student in school. It wasn't deliberate. I would talk to people and we're just talking. I say, oh, you finished from FGGC Undo? And I'll hold myself. Ah, how did I know that? The person will ask, well, how did you know that? Huh? I said, ah, is this what they call word of knowledge? I'm serious. But what happened? Spending time praying in tongues. Spending time praying in tongues. In speaking in tongues, you light up your spirit. And you set on fire the other gifts. Your spirit man is strengthened, enlightened, attuned to the signals of the spirit, to the frequency of the Holy Ghost. You can pick things about people. It affects your spiritual perception. Sensitivity. We'll talk about spiritual sensitivity. Speak in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Start from somewhere. And be consistent. Because consistency is important. Be consistent with it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Every day set out time to pray in the Spirit. When you have more time in your hand, increase the time. Pay more attention. Add more fire. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues. You say, Pastor, I don't know what I'm saying. You are not supposed to know what you are saying. The Bible says, how be it in the spirit you speak mysteries. You release what? Mysteries. Munge bara soshte paradigaba. Just let your mind be on the word of God. Let your mind be on the visions of God. And your mouth speaking this word out of your spirits. Speak in tongues. Now, if you are not blessed yet, let me not say you're not blessed yet, because every believer has been blessed with that gift. It's receiving it and using it. And you need us to pray for you. You wait after service and see any of pastors or any of the ministers at the other hall, they will pray for you. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Manifestations of the Spirit are connected to praying in tongues. The illustration we use is the menorah. How many of you remember the Jewish menorah? Usually in lighting that candle stand, you don't light the whole candles. You just light the one in the center. Pew, pew, that's what happens. When you light up tongues, the other gift to be lighted. Are you listening? It will overflow. You see yourself prophesying. You see yourself having visions of things to come. You see yourself supernaturally tapping into the mind of God for things, people, and places. Pray in tongues and challenge yourself. You tell yourself, I've only prayed for 1 hour in tongues before. I'm going to pray for 2 hours today. I'm going to pray for 3 hours today. I'm going to pray for 4 hours today. So prayer is not shouting on God because he's deaf. No. Or prayer, when we talk about hours of prayer, is not to persuade God. I have to say that. It's not because we're trying to persuade God. It's about Shebaka. It's about stirring our spirits to lay hold on what is already ours. Did you get that? prophet Isaiah talks about, there is no one who stirreth himself to lay hold on God. There's stirring. God is a spirit, the Bible says. So when you want to get hold of things in the realm of God, you have to be in the spirit. And the Bible says, he that speaks, it says, he that speaks in other tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. How be it in the spirit? In the spirit, in the spirit. That means when I'm speaking in tongues, I enter into God's realm. How be it in the spirit? He speaks mysteries. I enter into God's realm. Liba kosh kebrandi keposa, liba kabaya lopa lepa, repatosh kepa lepa teledebosa. So when we talk about spending extended times praying in the Holy Ghost, it's not to persuade God, but for us to be persuaded. Hallelujah. No, try it and see. You will feel happier. You will feel lighter. Labor tire. Suddenly mountains begin to look like molehills. Oh, you are feeling depressed and discouraged. Pray in other tongues. You are feeling scared, afraid, worried. Pray in other tongues. Spend hours praying in other tongues. You may start for 30 minutes and it's as though your mouth is heavy. Continue. You may pray 1 hour and it's as though you are not feeling anything. Continue. You will hit the gusher. You will hit the gusher. When you hit that gusher, the scriptures will know, will begin to come to you as revelation and prophecy. Suddenly, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, ceases to be a common scripture in the Psalms. It comes with a fire. It comes with a light. Am I talking this morning? It comes to you with an anointing. This is where you use, you know, in Ephesians 5, it talks about putting the whole armor of God. Putting the whole armor of God. Putting on the whole armor of God. And it talks about the shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery doubts. It talks about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. The next verse says, praying. Praying. Meaning, the place we pick that sword is a place of prayer. And do you know that's the only offensive weapon? The other ones are defensive. In the place of prayer, you're in your spirit, you put, do you know your spirit has hands? Like you are reaching deep down. You know, you are praying and praying, and as though your hand has not reached it. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Leba koza, le brendogo bosaya, leba kabalebosa, keba labosha. You can put worship to help you, to enhance your understanding. Put a worship by the side, play a message, block your ears, and pray in the Holy Ghost. You know what you are doing. You know, this is activity in the spirit. You are not assuming. Activity in the spirit. Liba kosa, mambede nebosh, liba koreba koso de kepa. Suddenly your hand will get a hold of it. Oh, your hand will get a hold of it. It could be son, fear not. It could be daughter, fear not. Hallelujah. But once that word comes, labor kaya. Oh, hallelujah. So the more you do that, the more your spirit is conditioned to flow with the gifts, to flow with the manifestations. You become a magnet. You can walk in an office, walk in a business place, and everybody, without telling them, knows that you have the answers. If it has not started happening to you, keep pressing. Desire it. When they have needs, they will come to you. You don't need to be a pastor. When they run into trouble, they will come to you. You see people opening up to you, telling you things they couldn't tell others. Hallelujah. Why? By praying in other tongues, you have become a magnet. You have become a center of distribution of these gifts, of these manifestations of the Spirit. Is somebody following me this morning? This is our life. God is not a secret to be kept. We must go. Give me Message translation. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 14. Let's read it together. Message translation. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. From verse 14. He said, here is another way to put it. We are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this. God is not a secret to be kept. I said he's a God of the marketplace. We are going public with this. As public as a city on the hill. I don't know about you, but this got me shouting. You know, I ran from my study. I went to the room to show First Lady. When I saw it, I said, read this. God is not the secret to be kept. We are going public with this. We are going public. And this is how to go public. Carrying his manifestations to the marketplace. Listen, every time we provide answers to the wisdom of God and the power of God, nobody is going to victimize us because we are Christians. Nobody. I tell you the truth. The world needs answers. Pharaoh did not say, you are a Hebrew. You are a prisoner. You are an ex-convict. Did he say that? Did Nebuchadnezzar say that? No. Hallelujah. See, I'm taking God public. Come on, shout it like you believe it. I'm taking God public. Pray in tongues abundantly. The next step, step out in faith, yield to the Spirit. Step out in faith, yield to the Spirit. Yield. It comes as thoughts. Strong impressions. Yield. Yield. Step out. Until you step out to lay hands on someone, you are not sure, you are not guaranteed they are going to get healed. True of us. Until you step out to give that word in your heart. And you see, you can be simple about it. You don't need to be spooky. You can just say, I feel in my heart that this is what is happening. You just step out in faith. Yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. God spoke to you in your prayer place that the money is going to come. When you go to the office, declare it to the staff. Declare it to the staff. We are getting that grant. And they say, do you know what you are talking about? But you just declare the word. And then you start doing the things that depend on you. Hiya. You do the things that depend on you. You just put things in place. The things you can do, you get them done. Hallelujah. Step out in faith, yield to the Spirit. That's how to see these manifestations. God spoke to me many years ago. He says, action is the switch of my power. Action is the switch of my power. Every time you step out in faith, you switch on my power to work. I say, Lord, really? And guess what? We're preparing for a village outreach. I'll never forget. For announcement, we're going to have these meetings in an interior village. Oh, and I was excited. I knew, I told the team, I said, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see all manner of things in these meetings. Went to the village and began to see deaf ears opening up. Hallelujah. Cripples walking, sickness is getting healed. On the road, we'll remove. I'll never forget it. Tavilos one day. On the road, I saw a guy walking with crutches like this. I said, sir, you can walk without these crutches. I don't know why he believed me. I spoke with the Spirit of God, I believe. And then I started talking to him. On the road, I said, in the name of Jesus, walk without these things. Your legs, you say, I took the crutches. On the road, people were looking. He said, I can walk. We are going public with this, right? Terminus. Glory to God. I was not the pastor. Amen. I was not the pastor. The template has to change. The template has to change. This is the reason why the church relegated fasting and prayer to those on the pulpit, was that mindset. When we know that we are all ministers carrying the power of God, going public with God. You may be a comedian, but you know you are going public with God. Do you know just giving comedy, people can get healed? Because that is your call. That becomes the tool that God will use. Have you forgotten that the man David was playing an instrument? He did not see anything. He didn't need to say, come out. The evil spirit that came upon Saul left as he played. Oh, hallelujah. Left
by a man playing an instrument.
Remember, Uncle Moyo used to tell us in Konamoyo, in the military, he'd be doing military presentation and people would be crying. Military presentation about war and tactics of war. The anointing of God's Spirit. God should not be kept, should not be caged in church. Let's go to the street with him. Let's go to our place of work, our place of business with God. Yield, step out in faith. Hallelujah. Step out in faith and expect results. Expect answers. Expect God to show up. Expect God to move. The same thing in your house. Begin with your house. They say your daughter is sick. Your son is sick. The first thing you should think of should not be calling a doctor. No. What happens to the Holy Ghost on your inside? What are you doing with the Holy Ghost? That shouldn't be the first thing. What is New Testament prescription? He says, any sick among you? Aye, let him call for the elders of the church. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Oh my goodness. This is how we live. Glory to God. I'm not saying you should not go to the hospital. But build your faith. Build your faith. You know why Christians get terminal illness and we are praying and praying and they die? Because over the years, they have built their faith on human system for so long. Now the doctor says it's cancer. You are not looking for prayer. When you had headache, say, I got me headache. Can I get those paracetamol? I'm feeling malaria. I just picked Coartem on the way. It doesn't cross your mind to build your faith. So when the doctors now said, we are so sorry, we don't have cure for this anymore. Emergency. But you see, this thing is spiritual. Over the time, your faith has been built in man's system. They say you have 16, the person has 6 months to live. And then you think 6 months is enough to build faith? Glory to God. Is somebody following me this morning? Yes, believe God. Stretch your faith, stretch your faith, stretch your faith, stretch your faith. If it gets so bad and they have to take you to the hospital, no problem. We'll pack you to the hospital, no problem. But at least you are training. Listen, what we don't know is this, that spiritual things operate by practice. And the more you practice, the better at it you become. Hello? Practice. The fact that the child tried to walk and he couldn't walk, doesn't mean that child is not going to walk. No. But at least the child is practicing. Does it take the next step? Take the next step. You are believing God, confessing, declaring your faith, and it gets bad, pack you to the hospital. No problem. He's a doctor. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. But you know that you are practicing something. Very soon you get good at it. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm excited. All right, I have many things to tell you, but my time is gone. Just have a few minutes. Let's jump on the lesson. And don't forget that all these manifestations of the Spirit operate in the environment of love, right? It says, I'll show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. All right? More excellent way to this gift. Walk in love. Okay? We're going to talk about that love walk later. Lesson 8. I will start then continue in second service. Lesson 8. Am I right? Lesson 8, right? Genesis 41, 33 to 36. You can put it up. Lessons from Joseph. Lesson 8. Are you ready? Lesson 8 says, save 20% or more in plenty. Save at least 20% in plenty and save something at all times. Write it down. Some say, Pastor, I taught you, you're a teacher of faith and grace. You are teaching savings on Sunday morning. Look up at me, everyone. Have you noticed that most of what you call secular books on finance, talk about 20% savings. Where did they get it from? Is there? They got something from a covenant man and they are putting it as a gold standard. They got it from somewhere. They got it from the Bible. You know the way the day my questions were answered. I was brought forth by word of faith. Okay. Produced by word of faith. Amen. And because of the teachers I began to follow when I was much younger. It wasn't because they were not saving, but they didn't see anything about it. Amen. And then we just had this thinking that savings was Babylonian. Alright, I'm serious. Okay, and some of you were there. Okay, don't laugh at me now. The day I found out I was in school. Okay. You know, there are stages of receiving revelation. Was it during the leaders' meeting? I told you about repetition. Repetition being the life of truth. You know I'm saying this? I knew it from school, but I started practicing it after school. Or later than I got to know about it. It occurred to me that, this 20% savings they're talking about, is that not the fifth part? What is fifth part? 20%. One fifth is 20%. It occurred to me that Joseph, the covenant man, brought the 20% stuff. And then I began to study about it. Listen to me. Putting something aside is scriptural. Remember, I put it this way. I say, save at least 20% in plenty and save something at all times. It means even when you are feeling, I don't have enough, put something aside. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Next verse. I need it to be very fast now. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. The fifth part, that is 20%. Pharaoh got so rich. Egypt got so rich. Joseph got so rich doing this. Give me Proverbs 21:20, I believe. 21:20. He said there's much to be desired. 21:20. Proverbs 21:20. He said there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spended it all. Spended it all. I tell you the truth, I lie not. When I began to practice these things, my finances changed completely. It was like this. Trust me. It was like this. My finances changed. I told you what the mentor told me. You are foolish when you always get to zero. I was angry. I'm not getting enough. And apparently, Pastor Sam Adeyemi had a similar story. Glory to God. He said to spend it all is foolish. 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 Proverbs 6 from verse 6. Do you have the Living Bible? Put KJV first, then we'll do Living Bible. Proverbs 6 verse 6. Hallelujah. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. KJV. Living Bible. Fast. I know you have it. He said, take a lesson from the ants. You lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. I'm out of time. Rise to your feet with a shout.
Hallelujah. We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.